the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange conference call. Today's call is being recorded. For opening remarks and introductions, I would like to turn the call over to Lizelle Chin. You may begin.
Thank you, Jackie, and welcome to WebSphere Support Technical Exchange session. Today's topic is WebSphere Commerce Introduction to Troubleshooting System Outages. Today's presenter is Mark Barbara. Mark is a software engineer at IBM Toronto Lab, Canada. He is a team lead of the WebSphere Commerce Support Team and subject matter expert on performance and stability of WebSphere Commerce site. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Mark.
Thank you, Liesl. So unfortunately, Andreas couldn't be here to join us today if some of you were waiting to hear him. So I'll be taking you through his slides to gain a better understanding of troubleshooting system outages. If we could move to slide 2. So as everybody is aware, we're rounding the corner into the most critical season of the year for online shopping. Everybody expects to get a lot of traffic and sales to their websites as the holiday season and Black Friday approaches, but as the traffic and shopping ramps up on your website, you may worry about the site going down and losing critical sales and customers. While we all wish this will never happen, you must be prepared in the case that it does, and this presentation will help you to be prepared and proactive to minimize the downtime as well as the time it takes to come to understand the root cause of the failure. Slide 3. Today, I want to quickly go over how we can quickly understand and recover from a site outage. There are many charts in this presentation deck, so I won't be able to speak to all of them or to get a deep technical discussion, but hopefully it can serve as a reference for you as you prepare for your busy season and in the event of a site outage. There are many links to other presentations and guides that can further help you to build a deeper technical knowledge in troubleshooting these scenarios. The goal today is to understand the data and information that will quickly get you on your way to resolving these types of issues. Let's move on to slide 4. So when you go to the doctor with a problem, the doctor needs to ask you many questions to understand your situation and will begin to diagnose what's wrong to make you feel better. For example, she may ask you what you have done that caused your injury or how long has it been hurting for. These questions are above and beyond the different blood tests or x-rays she may also collect. The same goes for when debugging a system outage. There's a lot to be understood about the outage that cannot be seen in the physical diagnostic data that's recorded in the log or dump files that are generated by your server. The following slides cover some questions that will accelerate the understanding of the overall issue so that when looking at the technical data, you can quickly jump to the most effective pieces of data that will more quickly come to a proper conclusion at the problem at hand. Let's go to slide 5. So what's going on with the site? Is it slow? How slow? Is this for internal shoppers or external shoppers? Is it some pages or all pages? If we can understand at a higher fidelity which part of the site is having issues, then we can investigate more closely what is wrong. Depending on which parts of the website are having the problems, we can begin to isolate the affected components much more quickly. Slide 6, please. When a problem occurs, when does it occur? Can you attribute it to traffic that happens on the site while you're at your peak system load? If it happens at a regular interval, is there a likelihood that it's related to a scheduled job or a background task? Keeping in mind the timing will help you understand what area of the product or what tasks might be related to the system outage. Slide 7, please. Which servers does it happen on? Is it on all servers? Is it just one server? If it's only one, you may begin to ask yourself, what else is running on that affected server? If your problem bounces from one server to another, for example, server X goes down, then right after server Y starts going down in the same way, this usually means that there's a specific request or activity that's being executed that can bring down one server, and when that fails, that request gets failed over to the next machine, which brings the next machine down. Understanding which servers the system are being affected will help you understand where or how you can isolate the problem. Can the system be recovered? So usually a restart will fix an issue, But does it go down right after, or does it take a while, and how long does the system stay up before it goes down again? The pattern of how long from a recovery to a failure can be a clue as to the type of the problem that occurs on the system. Slide 8, please. You'll want to also understand what has changed. Most people will gravitate to thinking about code deployments as the only changes that can happen on a system, but there are other changes that will usually bring down a site that have nothing to do with the code you have deployed. For example, have you loaded new data, a new catalog structure, or maybe a new promotion? How about the external integration systems? Have they changed? Keeping a change history can help you know what has changed on the system and what areas you might need to look into. The physical code on your system may not have changed, but if these dependencies have changed, the code may behave differently, and you may find that your system is going down for reasons other than the code that has been on your system for a year, but now the data or the related systems have failed or changed, causing your original code to potentially bring the system down. Slide 9, please. Here's an additional list of examples of things that you can use as a reference to understand which areas you might want to think about as to what has changed on the system. Slide 10, please. So now we've talked about the questions and answers you should collect to better articulate the problem symptoms. We also want to have technical data to understand and diagnose the problem based on the descriptions and background information about the system problem. The links here that I've included are the starting points of the must-gather guides that we have for WebSphere Application Server and WebSphere Commerce. The most useful categories for system outages are the performance, hang, or high CPU must-gathers, the out-of-memory must-gathers, and the crash must-gathers. Slide 11. Most must-gathers have an automated collector that can help expedite the collection process. My advice is to become familiar with the data before a problem occurs, so you're ready and know how to get the required data. If you miss the data collection, we typically cannot resolve the problem, and you'll need to wait for another outage to happen again for us to be able to tell you what had happened. So it's critical to be familiar with what needs to be collected and be able to collect that information at the time of the failure so that the root cause can be determined. Slide 12, please. Now we'll move into a more technical discussion of the data that will be included in most of the must-gathers that are related to system outages. The first one is Java cores. It's used to debug hangs, crashes, high CPU, and out-of-memory situations. The Java core provides you with a snapshot of the system that is running, such as the Java configuration items, as well as a point-in-time snapshot of what is running at the time when the Java core was taken. It's a pretty lightweight file, it's not hard to generate, and it's simply a text file that's being created. Slide 13, please. If you're not sure where to find the Java core, you can check the native standard error.log file to find out the location where they're being created. Whenever a Java core is generated by you or by the system itself, it's logged in this file. There's a lot of information found in the Java core, so it may be daunting to look at directly in its text format. There are some great IBM tools that can help you process and read these files, especially when looking for trends between them. I've included some links to some of the tools and a place to learn more about Java cores at a deep technical level. Slide 14, please. As I mentioned earlier, the Java core provides you with a point-in-time snapshot of what is running at the time the Java core was taken. The most useful information in the Java core are the Java call stacks, which is the Java code that's executing at the time that Java core was taken. In the example in this slide, we can see how to identify the threads. The way that the execution of the thread is displayed is that the that it will show you a Java call stack. So the Java classes are ordered in the way they were called from bottom to top. You can typically understand the functions and behaviors that were running on the system simply based off the class and method names. So in the example here, it's easy to see that a shipping calculation is taking place. Slide 15, please. Here's another example. We can see there's a thread waiting against the query on the database. If you had many threads performing this type of action, you may begin to wonder whether the system response times are being degraded due to a problem at the database layer. Slide 16, please. Looking further down the call stack, we can also identify the business logic that could be causing the system to slow down. For example, we can notice here that there's a query that's related to user demographics. At this point, you may think to yourself whether your site uses this function a lot, and if not, it might be a clue if you start seeing this feature excessively in your Java course, which may lead you to reanalyze the traffic pattern or code design. Slide 17, please. Looking even further down the Java stack, we can see the SQL comes from the execution of a JSP. You may consider also whether this page is supposed to be cached, or if you can introduce additional page caching to remove the costly queries from executing on the system. You may also consider if using the user registration data bean is the best way to get the data you need, or if there's a more efficient way to get the data. As you can see, there are a lot of clues on the system, and the problem can be caused at different levels. The first step is to identify the problem, which will lead you towards which area are more important to investigate versus others. Slide 18, please. One thing to note is that the web container threads are the threads that will process your web-based traffic. Depending on the OS and Java level, the name of the thread may change from what you see in the Java core. You will want to make sure you do not have too many threads, as this may cause a capacity issue on its own. If a thread isn't being used to process traffic, you will still see it in the Java core. It will just be idle. At the bottom of this slide, there is an example of an idle thread. If you see these, it's perfectly fine. It means that they aren't doing anything and they aren't consuming resources. Slide 19, please. If you have scheduled jobs causing issues, you'll typically find them in the Java core executing on the scheduled threads. The following slide gives you some tips on how to identify those threads when reviewing the Java core. Slide 20. Now we'll begin to talk about high CPU. High CPU is typically diagnosed by getting an OS-level report of the CPU usage per process and per thread, and then we can use this information to map the thread back to the Java core to see which functions were causing the high CPU. In many cases, if high load causes high CPU, there may not be a problem to be seen in the diagnostic data. We simply see the system is really busy. Advanced system tuning may be required to resolve such issues, which is going to be outside of the scope of this discussion today. Slide 21. When looking at Java cores, what you want to be sure to do is look across many different threads over a few Java cores. Looking at a single thread from a single Java core can be very misleading. You will want to find a pattern of behavior across many threads. In the Java core, you will also find that there are many threads running, but the focus should be first on the web container threads, as these are the threads that are taking the web traffic and executing your storefront logic. You'll want to see what they are doing and how many are in use versus how many are in idle. You will also want to look for patterns between threads, as they are clues to what is happening or causing a bottleneck in the system. If there are many threads executing the same logic in the Java core, this is typically a good guess as to what is causing the problem. Slide 22. You'll also want to look across a few Java cores taken roughly around the same time, perhaps a 30-second interval. This can confirm if an issue was a one-off or not. sometimes if something shows up in many different Java cores, you know it's a problem that will show up again and again over time. You should look at the same thread across Java cores as well. Each thread has a unique ID. If the same thread ID is executing the same code stack over several Java cores, this can tell you that the code is stuck and is something worth investigating. Slide 23, please. As mentioned earlier, there's an OS-level instrumentation that can relate CPU usage to processes and then from the process to the threads in the process. This is an invaluable tool if there is a single thread that is causing the CPU to run hot. It can also tell you if the CPU is running hot for no single thread, which means you should not focus your attention too much on the different threads in your Java core, but you may need to look at more global patterns across the system. Refer to the must-gather guides on how to collect this data based on your specific operating system. There are also links at the end of this presentation that will point you to the OS-specific guides on how to collect and review this data. Slide 24, please. Finally, with regards to high CPU, a very high percentage of issues that we see in support are actually caused by the system running out of memory. When the JVM is running out of free memory, the garbage collector will work harder and harder to keep it from running out. Typically, when it's close to running out of memory, the garbage collector will be running close to 100% of the time, causing the CPU of your system to be consumed 100%. It's quick and easy to validate whether or not you have run out of memory. So in high CPU situations, this will be one thing to check for right away, since it will allow you to more quickly move on to solving the out-of-memory issue that would be causing the high CPU. Slide 25, please. Next, we'll move on to hangs. So hangs are when the system is up and running, but it's not responsive, and you do not observe high CPU. Again, we're going to be using the Java cores to find out which resource or which code is causing the system to pause or hang. Slide 26, please. Typically, hangs happen due to back-end resources which do not respond quickly enough and tie up processing on the system, causing the application server to pause and wait. The analysis is very similar to what you have seen in the past with high CPU with respect to comparing thread call stacks within and across Java cores. In this example, we can see many threads in one Java core waiting on results from the database. This would lead us to believe the system is hung due to the DB being hung or having very poor response times. Slide 27, please. Another case for a hang could be internal Java synchronization. In the case, Java may lock objects and prevent other threads from accessing the same object. This can be seen in a Java core where a single thread is blocking other threads. There's a link here where you can learn more about Java synchronization and how to prevent or to avoid some synchronization issues if you have that in your code. Slide 28, please. Finally, we'll move on to crashes. So I know I've worked on a few issues where people say their site has crashed, but really what they meant was that it was unresponsive or it was running out of memory. I'd like to define a crash as more specifically when the Java process itself dies abruptly. This is not very common. And when it happens, it usually indicates a low-level operating system or driver issue that causes the process to fail at the operating system level. This is typically not an application or Java coding issue. In most cases, IBM support would be required to help diagnose these situations. Slide 29, please. Again, the Java core is a crucial piece of information in this case as the starting point to troubleshoot the problem. It will tell us the cause of the crash, as well as the code or libraries that were used at the time of the crash. These are really big clues as to what the root cause is when you have a crash of your process. For example, here, we can see the process crash due to a segmentation fault that occurs within the just-in-time compiler component of the JVM. Slide 30, please. Out of memory. So this exception happens when an object cannot be allocated to the Java heap or if the Java process cannot allocate memory required at the operating system level. There are different sets of data required to debug this issue, but once again, we'll use the Java core. At the start, we can confirm it's an out-of-memory error, and we typically will use the threads to see what activity is running on the system at the time of the out-of-memory exception. Slide 31, please. The Java core also tells us the configuration of the JVM, specifically the heap configuration, such as the maximum and minimum heap sizes configured for the system. I'm not going to go into detail around out-of-memory errors today, as we have a previous WebSphere technical exchange that discusses specifically how to troubleshoot out-of-memory errors in WebSphere Commerce. If you have not seen this, I strongly recommend this presentation to assist you in preparing and self-diagnosing out-of-memory exceptions on your system. Slide 32, please. So those were the main ways that we typically see systems going down. High CPU, hangs or unresponsive servers, process crashes, and out of memory. The queuing and cascading effect is an important point to think about and realize. A WebSphere Commerce system is made up of many parts, each which depend on each other. You will find that a slowdown at one tier will be visible as a problem in the other tiers. Understanding how each system can cascade onto each other, you may more quickly find the system that is the root cause of the problem. This is described in more detail in a previous WebSphere technical exchange provided by Andreas, linked at the bottom of the slide. I'm going to go over a couple of examples here to illustrate the queuing and cascading effect. Slide 33, please. The first example is where we have some bad code on the application server layer. The problem will be most visible at the application server, since we're going to see high CPU and the thread pools almost being exhausted as the system slows down and cannot process the traffic. We can use the OS-level data collection to pinpoint the thread that's causing the issue and validate the code that has failed by reviewing the thread stacks in the Java core. Slide 34. If you review the database layer, you'll find that the number of connections has possibly increased, but the usage is lower than normal, if not idle. This sounds kind of odd on the surface, but thinking about the cascading effect, this begins to make sense. Since the application server is stuck processing bad code at 100% CPU, it may not be spending the time processing the regular traffic, which drives queries to the database, so the database will become more idle. Also, since we may be processing more threads at once, we would expect to see the number of connections increasing at the database. This sounds really abnormal for a well-running system, but it wouldn't be the root cause of a failure, so further investigation on the database tier wouldn't be needed. On the web tier, you'll notice the response times may increase. You may also see traffic starting to queue up at the HTTP server, or in an extreme case, you may run out of the number of available connections. This is, again, to be expected since the application server does not respond as quickly as normal, and a backup at the HTTP server layer may occur. Slide 35, please. The second example would be if you had a really bad query. This causes the database to have high CPU, maybe high I/O, or many database locks. The database is just unresponsive. So you'll see the number of connections rise on the database as more traffic arrives to the system while the existing traffic cannot yet be completed. Database analysis can show you which SQL is bad and is running long and consuming the database resources. Slide 36, please. At the application server layer, you'll find that the CPU utilization will typically go down. The system will appear to be hung. If it's hung waiting for the database to return, you'll find that many web container threads are potentially, your pool will be exhausted, and all the threads will be waiting on the database. Using a Java query, you can usually pinpoint the threads that are executing the bad queries, similar to what we saw in the earlier example for Java cores. On the HTTP server, the story is the same as the last example. The point of these two scenarios is to show you that at each tier, we see a problem. But trying to fix a backup, say, at the HTTP requests, the backup of HTTP requests in the web server by playing around with the HTTP server configuration will probably not resolve your issue. You'll actually need to understand the dependency that the HTTP server has to each tier on the architecture, so that fixing one problem, say the database lockups, in this case, will allow you to solve the problems that you're seeing on the other tiers of your system, such as the hangs on the application server layer, or the backup or exhausted connections on the HTTP server layer. Slide 37. Finally, if you need help from IBM support, use what you've learned here to help expedite the process. Be aware of the must-gather data and collect it before opening your PMR. Here in support, we can't resolve most issues unless we have that data at the time the system outage occurs. Also, if your site's down, let the support engineer know that it's your production system. Let us know the impact that it's causing to your business so we can prioritize it appropriately and allocate the necessary resources to get your site up and running again. Finally, remember the doctor questions that we talked about earlier in this presentation so that you can give as many details as possible about the problem to the support team. If we only have the data, we're going to be looking at this data blind. We will need to know what the different symptoms are, how it's affected your system, using those doctor questions, so we can quickly get to the affected component and the relevant data to solve the problem. If you need to review the IBM support process and how to get the most out of your IBM support teams, the following links are great to provide you more information about learning about IBM support, as well as how to save time with IBM support. Slide 38, please. Finally, some quick reminders. First, time is money, so quick recovery and diagnosis is critical. Don't get caught out by surprise. Test to prevent issues, have backup plans in case of a failure, and be prepared to collect the necessary data just in case the site has an outage. You don't want to have to take multiple outages to get the data that's required to solve it. Be prepared to get it on the first occurrence. Also, understand the full architecture and how each piece of the puzzle depend on each other. Be prepared when you need help from IBM support. Being prepared will drastically cut down the amount of time from when you open your service request with IBM support and the amount of time it takes the support representative to begin to investigate your issue. Slide 39, please. Finally, the last three slides we've included will be used for a reference. Slide 39 has links for useful WebSphere Technical Exchanges that have been presented in the past, which are very relevant to system outages and understanding these issues at a very technical level. Slide 40, please. Slide 40 has a link, again, to our must-gather documents for site outages. As I mentioned earlier, these are the guides you will want to become familiar with before you have a system outage, so that you're ready to collect that information on the first time it happens, so we can solve the problem and not have to have a second outage to get the relevant data. Slide 41, please. Slide 41 has the information about high CPU. As I mentioned earlier, that each operating system will have a different way to understand and correlate the CPU usage that you have back to your JVM. Here are the links to the different guides for each operating system. And slide 42. This is a final slide that has a list of tools that the IBM support team uses to work with the must-gather data that you will be providing to the support team. Having access to these tools and using these tools on your own can allow you to self-diagnose and self-solve problems before getting IBM support involved. Slide 43, please. So this chart includes links to a number of sites that can provide valuable online resources for WebSphere products. You can visit the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site to learn more about upcoming WebSphere Support Technical Exchange webcasts, like the one you're attending today, and access previously recorded presentations, like the ones I've linked to earlier. DeveloperWorks offers in-depth technical information, so you can visit WebSphereUserGroup.org for user group information and more product information. The IBM Education Assistant consists of self-help modules to get new users up the learning curve quickly. There are actually quite a few very good Education Assistant materials around JVM and Java debugging, so I definitely recommend looking into some of those if you haven't seen them already. The SR tool is for Password Advantage clients to open and update your PMRs online, and the My Notification links on all product support pages lets you sign up for weekly email updates for products that are of interest to you. Slide 44, please. So this concludes the presentation, and I'll pass it back to Liesl to help wrap up the call.
Thank you, Mark, for a great presentation. At this time, Jackie, we would like to open lines for questions.
One moment, please, for the first question. Our first question comes from Cryan. Your line is open.
Hi. I have a couple of questions. The first question is related to the GC overhead. I know how we can do the GC overhead analysis, but using that IBM must-gather or IBM support assistant tool, but I was wondering if there are tools to check the real-time GC overhead analysis. And the second question was relating to real-time heap usage analysis, or like how to get the numbers out at the real-time, how on the production side, like how to get the GC overhead numbers and the heap usage numbers. That's all I have.
Okay. So I guess the question, let me just repeat it just to make sure I got it correct here. The question is about real-time monitoring, specifically around the garbage collector and the heap usage. So how do you tell how utilized your heap is real-time as well as the overhead? So for those who are not familiar with the term overhead, I think what we're talking about here is the percentage of time that the garbage collector is running relative to the JVM processing regular traffic. So typically, on a system, what you can do is take your native standard error log. So if you have your verbose GC enabled, which is something that we would recommend that you have enabled 100% of the time, it's actually a very lightweight log to be running, and it's an invaluable piece of information to understand how to tune your JVM, as well as it's actually a required piece of information to solve most out-of-memory problems. So having that piece of information, you should be able to go through and use some of the tooling like the pattern analysis tooling that we have, or PMAT, to look at the trends of the system. Now, that would require you to take the file off. It won't be exactly real-time, but typically when you're looking at this data, you're going to want to look for a trend, so you wouldn't necessarily need to look for overhead real-time per se. There are additional tools such as the IBM Health Monitor that can help understand this information. So that will actually plug in to your process and be able to allow you to read, what is going on the system from that level as well. And then finally, within the system, you can enable some PMI counters. So those are performance monitor indicators, I believe, within WebSphere that can keep count of things like your heap usage so you can monitor that real time if needed.
And we had no further questions.
Thanks very much for joining us today, and thank you, Mark, for presenting today.